Alex, since the last time we talked, whoa, so much has happened in the world of AI. I'm excited to dive in. We got a lot to catch up on today.
I can't wait. Let's get into it. You're listening to the Endless Customers Podcast, where we help you earn trust and win customers in the age of AI. Welcome back to the show. This is Endless Customers. My name's Alex Winter, and today we're joined by Brianna Wagenbach, our AI lead, our AI expert and trainer. What's up? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Excited to dive in.
No, I'm excited too. Thanks for being here. We meet with you regularly because not only are you an AI expert, but I feel like I always need like what's fresh and what's happening because it's an ever-changing landscape. I feel like there's new tools every day and it's like drinking from a fire hose. So you are like my central source of truth. And I think for our listeners and our audiences, we are so happy to have you back because we want to know what's going on, what's new with AI, what's kicking, what you're most excited about. So I think a good place to start is what's up with AI? What is something you're really excited about right now? What's new and happening in the world of artificial intelligence?
Well, that's a big old loaded question. What's new in AI is hard to keep up with. As you mentioned, drinking from a fire hose. That's a great way to describe it.
Yeah.
I would say what is most top of mind right now is the whole thought of, is what I'm seeing real on my screen? And I wouldn't say it's necessarily something I'm excited about. If anything, I would say it's on the other side that I am leaning in with a big, big air of caution. For any writers, videographers, content creators, or anyone.
Hi, that's me. Hi.
Yes, yeah. Right? We've all probably gotten pretty annoyed at this point of how many stinking updates Google has done and what we are supposed to do differently or what we're supposed to keep doing the same. It's pretty confusing on the creator side of things. And it leaves creators feeling like, are best practices still best practices? Like, how do I know I'm doing the right stuff?
Yeah, totally.
And it's a little bit of a guessing game, which as a strategic lead and as an AI trainer, I don't feel good saying that it's a little bit of a guessing game right now, but it is. And so when we think about, you know, all the advancements that are happening already and are going to continue to happen in the world of video, what is going to continue to be harder than ever to gain is trust of your readers, trust of your viewers, trust of your potential prospects. Even today in my position, I'm not going to lie, when I go online, it's pretty rare that I assume a video is real, that I assume content is not AI generated, which is a little bit of a weird spot to be in. And the question is, well, okay, if that is really kind of how people are thinking right now, because I'm not alone in that.
No, you're not the only one. I feel that way too. As a video professional, I feel like I'm pretty good at going like, oh, that's green screen. Oh, that's whatever. That's this, that's that. And I could identify pretty quickly, like this is a fake video or whatever you want to call it. And it's getting increasingly more difficult to do that these days. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say I live in Colorado. So like I can see the Rocky Mountains right from my office window and I follow all things mountain related, like just work in Colorado to the max. But what I found is I actually saw this video on Instagram. This is last week. And I showed it to my husband because while I live in Colorado, I haven't lived here very long. So anytime I see something cool, I'm like, oh, sweet. Let's plan our next trip. Like, let's go on this hike. It was AI generated. It was not real.
Oh, no.
And I felt like a balloon because I was like, here I am, AI strategic lead, instant fooled by this video on Instagram. So where does that leave us then in the content creator world of what we're supposed to do? And with video, I really feel strongly that we just need to be as transparent as possible with what is real and what is not. And it's not to say that you shouldn't use AI or you should really stick to the core basics without AI. Use it. Use it well and be transparent about it because there is a lot that you can do already with video. And just as written content compared to video has historically been, video is behind the curve as it relates to AI if we're comparing written content. So what we're seeing with video right now is just the littlest, littlest bit. As a videographer, you probably can agree that there's not a ton of cool stuff that we can do with video right now, but there will be, hopefully,
yeah,
in the future.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of potential, and we're working through that right now too, because we're very much focused on leveraging these tools to our advantage. And there are a lot of tools. There's great plugins for Premiere and for After Effects and for editing tools that what would normally take 2 to 3 hours to edit now takes 15 minutes to half an hour to edit because of these tools. So there are some cool advancements, but there's still a human piece that needs to be there, and that hasn't fully gone away yet. So like you said, we're at the tip of the iceberg with where it's at. Like, we're not in full ChatGPT content writer mode yet, but it's increasingly becoming more apparent that we're getting there. Like, in the next couple of years, this conversation is going to be a very different one for sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
And what'll be interesting is already, even while we're just at the beginning of what AI could and will look like for video, fast forward, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the line, what is that going to look like? And if it's already hard to decipher the difference between reality and AI, that's going to be just even more complex, years down the road.
Yeah.
So what are we doing now to make it very obvious to our viewers that this is in fact real, or this is AI generated? And are we being as transparent as we can on the video side of things?
Yeah. And that so much plays into the ask you answer and what we've always been practicing and preaching here at Impact, which is lead with honesty, lead with being genuine. And if you do those things, good things will follow. So even though AI is this new emerging tool and there's all these tools that go around it, you can still have a culture of being honest and having those same principles and using it to your advantage and not using it in a negative way or in a shady way. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that honestly has been I'm not going to lie. Obviously I'm a little biased when it comes to the ask you answer, because I coach and train on it.
Yeah, me too.
But the cool thing, yeah, all of us, just a little bit.
Yeah.
The cool thing, honestly, that I keep landing back on anytime I sit down to poke into anything AI related, the one shouting message that I keep landing on is be honest. Tell your customers what they need to know to qualify or disqualify themselves for your products or services, and be conversational. All the things that we talk about in They Ask You Answer are what is just coming to light for everybody else now. So for ourselves and those that are our clients and DIYers in the They Ask You Answer world, we're in a really good spot because we've been doing this for years, and now the rest of the world's just keep catching up a little bit.
Totally.
It's cool that really every kind of unknown that I dig into, I come back to the core principles of They Ask You Answer.
Yeah.
And it works, which is great.
No, it totally does. And I think too, if I'm being really honest, I was afraid of AI, and I still have some fears and worries and doubts and concerns. I think we all do. But specifically to video and writing, when it comes to content, yes, it's going to replace some of the jobs or some of the tasks that we do day to day. But if you look at it that way as like a replacement, it's really the wrong perspective. And this is something that you've taught me. This is something that Bob, our CEO, Marcus, our leadership team really pushes, is that it's going to change your job. It's not going to take your job. And if you can shift your perspective, it comes back to like written content and video is just a platform for sharing and telling stories and being genuine and having interactions with other human beings. So if you look at it that way, you're still telling a story and you're just using these tools in a new way to continue to do the same thing we've always done. So it's not really like this huge paradigm shift that's happening. It's just an adjustment. Yeah.
Well, and we've seen, it's interesting because a lot of new to AI, if I will say, people look at this as like this big upset, this big new thing that's happening. And while AI hasn't been the thing that's new in the marketing world before, there's always been something new, and we've always pivoted and changed based on that. Technology is forever emerging. If I think of myself when I was a brand new teacher, this is going to age me here. I used to have an overhead projector that I had these clear little sheets. You probably remember this from like your elementary school days.
Of course.
That I would use. They weren't dry erase. They were like wet erase markers that you put up on that overhead projector. You had to turn all the lights off. I had to march my happy little self to the teacher's lounge and clean those after every class. Insane to think if we still did that. Like, that sounds like dinosaur age. And now I feel
old. Right.
But if there is a teacher today that's still doing it, guaranteed her coworkers are like, lady, what are you doing? Why aren't you using a smart board? Why aren't you using Zoom Classroom? Why aren't you using Google Classroom? That has changed, and everybody just hopped right along with it. And while overhead projectors in Google Classroom is not the same as AI, the process, the changing over, just like we did when the internet was sprung on us, it's the same dang thing.
It is.
Things are going to change. So we got to get on board and learn how to change with them.
Yeah. The same thing happened with social media too. You just mentioned when the dot-com bubble happened, and then same thing with social media, and people were freaking out and they were like, we don't need agencies are going to die because it's free and people can just promote themselves. And that wasn't true. It certainly shifted things, but like, it's just an evolution as we advance as human beings and as people. So it's one of those things that you can either be afraid of it or you can embrace it. And I think the message or the key takeaway is it may be a little scary, but you gotta embrace it. Yeah. So speaking of embracing it, I'm curious, and this is my favorite part. This is what I love talking with you about, because you interface with a lot of clients. You're into this pretty deep. What's something that's flying under the radar? Like maybe a new tool or some cool artificial intelligence piece that most people don't know about, something that you're really excited about that you could share with us.
Yeah, I would say there are two things that I think are honestly flying under the radar a bit, because I'm not seeing a ton in social media talking about it. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT is always the hot thing people talk about, right?
Yeah.
Now, with ChatGPT, there's always a lot of questions of it, like, does it learn from you? What does it store? The data security, that's always a big conversation topic. And they recently, it's not on every single ChatGPT. I have four, so I have it. But it is a memory setting. Have you heard of this yet?
I don't think so. I do have ChatGPT 4, but I don't know if I've been using the memory setting or not.
Okay. So down in the right-hand corner where you've got like your little profile pic, if you will, mm-hmm. There should be a settings button.
Okay.
And if you go into settings, you'll know if you have it because it'll literally say memory settings. Let me pull this up and make sure I got this right. It'll say personalization.
Okay.
So when you have that turned on, if you're in your ChatGPT and you see that in your settings, you see personalization, you will have the option in your chat functionality to say things like, the output that you just gave me was the tone that I always want you to use. It was conversational. It was unbiased. That's how I speak. Please remember this tone. And it does.
Wow.
So the cool thing there is, if I use myself for an example, if I don't write stuff down, I kind of forget it sometimes, especially in a busy, busy work day. This is a computer though. This is a robot. It has way bigger memory capacity than we do. So those little things that you notice that it did right, there is that thumbs up, thumbs down button on your chats,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Use those. That actually helps OpenAI learn. And it also helps your ChatGPT bot learn. But we want to take it even one step further and have each bot, each chat that you open, learn collectively. And that's where that personalization comes in, where it can start to essentially build up a personal memory bank for you. And the one air of caution, a big air of caution, is careful on what you put in there. It's great that it's going to remember it, but when it comes to data security, if you have that thought of, I don't know, should I put that in there? I mean, the answer is probably no, you shouldn't.
Right. And depending on your industry and sector and security issues, you have to be mindful of those things for sure. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Like I was reading an article last week about a teacher who's utilizing ChatGPT for lesson planning.
Oh, nice.
Great. Now, as a past teacher, I will say no one student is the same. So if you have a classroom of 30 students, chances are your lesson plan is going to probably be taught in 10 different ways, all within one lesson. Oh, the joys of being a teacher in 2024. But with that, what this individual was going to do was going to put information in about the learning styles of her students. Now she paused because some of the data she was going to put in there is not data that can be shared publicly. That's a good air of caution to have. So instead, could she describe the learning styles of her students? Yeah. That's not sensitive data. But if she were to say, like, put their grades in there, maybe any educational plans they have, that starts to get towards that little bit of a gray area that it's like, is that safe? And if you don't know, just err on the side of probably not safe.
Yeah. No, that's a good recommendation. Yeah. If you're inputting something into GPT or whatever AI tool you're using, and in the back of your mind, you're going, I'm not sure about this, or I'm not sure if I should input this, probably should just err on the side of caution and not do that. Yeah. No, yep. Definitely a good tip. Mm-hmm.
The other one that I think is flying under the radar, and I think it's flying, this is not based in fact, this is totally just like Brianna's gut check here. but I think it's flying under the radar because I think it's scaring people. if I'm being honest. So there's a company, 11 Labs. For anybody who's listening, if you have not poked into 11 Labs yet, Google it, press pause, go look it up right now.
Okay.
But this is a great platform for many things. But one of the things that it's, you know, given us as marketers the privilege to do is to monetize our voice. And there's a lot of great that can come from it, but there's a little bit of, I want to say, like a moral check that's needed for some people of, are we starting to get into that like humans becoming robots type of land, right? There's like that unsaid area of like, is this starting to creep into like a little bit of a scary area here?
Yeah.
Now, it also, there's a lot to be cautious of, because let's say we had Bob, our CEO, we had his voice, you know, in 11 Labs, and me being the AI strategic lead with all good intention, you know, I create something that is in his voice that I send off. Now, obviously I wouldn't do that, but let's say I did do that and Bob didn't know about it. And that individual reached out to Bob. Messy confusion. Also, like, not my place to be sending messages on Bob's behalf, but people are already doing things like this.
Right. No, but for like scammers or for people that aren't using positive intent or are doing shady things, like it's a very, it could be used in a dangerous way. Yeah. I understand what you're saying. I just pulled it up too. Yeah. This is really interesting. Generative voice AI. So you're saying that it can basically map like the tone of your voice and take your voice, and then you can just type stuff in here and it'll sound like you or me or Bob or whichever person you want it to be. Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
You had mentioned too something earlier where you're saying that it was going to be trademarked, or there was a way to trademark people's voices. Is that right? Did I hear you say that correctly?
Monetize it.
Monetize it. Okay.
I don't know. You know, that's, I bet you that is, I hope anyways, that's something that people are thinking about and talking about behind the scenes, because just from a pure, just like company security standpoint and brand messaging standpoint, is I wouldn't want like anybody to have availability to my voice or anybody else in my organization or anything like that unless I said so, right? And so I would be curious if there is any future where certain things that are created with AI, you know, are trademarked or do have, you know, copyright laws around them, because those are very technical, legal type conversations to get into. And they're big conversations to have that most likely are going to cost you a little chunk of change. So I don't say in fact, but in gut, I think this is being avoided a little bit and not as hyped and talked about, because people just don't really know what to do with it and make sure they're not doing it in an unsafe way where, you know, later down the line, they get in trouble for it.
Yeah, totally. No, this is not a great example, but I just watched Oppenheimer recently. And so it's front of mind for me where it's like, it almost plays into like the technology is there where it's like this cool thing. I mean, an atom bomb isn't cool, but like this monumental advancement in technology, it's really powerful, but it's also like, you have to be cautious with it because it could be dangerous. So it's trying to navigate those areas of like, it's a great potential tool, great technology piece, but like, how do we use it? And what are the safety protocols around it to make sure people aren't misusing it or mistreating it? Yeah.
It's a little unsettling is probably the right word.
Yeah.
Like commercializing your own voice.
Right.
It's just a little odd. I don't even know the way to like describe it, but it just like, it sits a little weird with me.
Well, it's starting to permeate, right? Because it started with written content and then we talked about video. But now, like, I have a lot of friends who are voiceover artists and some friends who work on some pretty big shows out in LA and things like that, where they could almost have this new tool map their voice. And then instead of going into the studio to record every day, they could just type a script out, or the writers could just use it and do it themselves. Like, it almost cuts them out of the equation, which is crazy. And it's the same thing too. We talked about with Sora earlier, with Sora AI, the videos that they promoted, it's almost indistinguishable. Like, as a video professional, like Austin and I were watching it together, and you have to really look to see like, oh, the movement of her feet don't quite match up, or there's like very minute things. But like, if you're not really a video expert and not looking for that stuff, it's hard to tell that it's not real. So again, yeah, those security confines around it. Mm-hmm.
Well, and even with Sora, like the realism, I mean, truthfully, if you compare it to any other tools out there, it defies expectations.
Yeah.
I think the last I looked, unless it's been changed recently, I think you can make something up to like 60 minutes in length. So it's not, short form content, marketing video here, marketing video there, an hour. I mean, that's almost a movie, depending.
Yeah.
So I would love to be a fly on the wall just in Hollywood conversations right now. I'm sure people are getting real upset. I mean, justified. But
Yeah.
I'm curious what they're talking about because this is going to shake up the whole movie industry
It is.
and story industry for that
Yeah,
matter.
you know, though
People
I'm
are
okay with it though.
not.
Yeah. That's one of those things for me where it's gonna shake everything up, you're right. But I'm okay with it and I'm biased. This is my opinion, but I think Hollywood is out of ideas and is just rinse washing and repeating and rebooting everything they can. And I'm ready for some change. So maybe this is the fire starter to get that going. 'Cause I also think that there's gonna be a blend between what happens with video gaming as well. I feel like video games are increasingly getting more realistic. They tell way better stories. They're hiring real actors to come in. They're almost like being immersed in a movie. So I think those lines are gonna blur and cross into maybe some new art form that we haven't even thought about yet as a civilization. So it's exciting.
I think you're like directly on track there. 'Cause if you think through, what was it, Netflix? I want to say it was Netflix. And maybe I haven't been on poking around in there for a bit, but they had started putting like different interactive type shows, like choose your own adventure type show, as well as if you're on Netflix Kids, because I'm just an adult kid, so I poke on that.
You and me both.
They've got some like game stuff in there. So I think that is definitely something we're going to start to see more of, just as it becomes more interactive and there's more tools for them to make it a better experience, on the receiving end. Have you ever played around with one of those choose your own adventure type shows?
Totally. We were actually talking about doing something way back when I had first started at Impact. The idea was like, let's design the website similarly where we use video and leverage video, and it becomes interactive where people can choose their journey and which videos get served up and how it navigates them through their site so that it really becomes personalized. So yeah, we've talked about it and we've thought about it quite a bit. Yeah, I've just never really pulled the trigger on it.
Yeah, that's interesting because how long have you been with Impact, Alex?
So June will be 6 years. 6 years. I know,
Oh,
right?
man.
Yeah.
Okay. So 6 years ago, when you were pondering this idea, all of the technology that is today was not available.
No.
So fast forward 6 more years from now, that scenario that you just described, a choose your own adventure via video on a website, oh my God, sign me up. Think about how much time that would save. Like if you're when you sit down to research any product or service, it's a lot of bopping around, right? That's why bounce rates are so high, because we take like 2 seconds on a page to decide like, is this the right spot or not? If you are met with a personalized experience, I would be so curious to see, if that was kind of the normal for just about every website. I bet you we'd see bounce rates just drop drastically.
Exactly.
Something customized for you? I mean, I'm in. I want to hear more about how this is for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
sounds awesome.
It's a whole different level of personalization. And to your point, 6 years ago, it was possible. It was exponentially harder than it is to do it today with the new tools that are out. And to your point again, in 6 years from now, I'm sure it's going to be that much easier to do it. And how is that going to shift buying experiences, interacting with brands? What type of content comes out, if it's movies, if it's video games, if it's this blended thing of both. It's exciting to see where it's going. It really is. Yeah.
Well, and to throw one more crazy idea in there,
Yeah.
are we going to be looking at screens in the future? I don't think so.
Yeah, we're
I
gonna
don't
be
think
walking
so.
around with
What?
those Apple Glass Google
Maybe
things, yeah.
already. I just watched, now granted, this was someone poking fun at someone on the New York subway, but they had, I want to say it was the Apple Vision Pro. I want to say that's what that was.
Yeah.
And they're playing like some game. So they're sitting on the subway by themselves, obviously, and dragging and dropping things in the
I
air
saw
to other
this. Yeah, I saw
people.
this, and
How do you
they're
do
like playing in the air, and everyone's looking at them like, "What is this person doing?" Yeah.
that? But that person is just ahead of the rest of us. Is that what normal is going to be in the future? Maybe when I have a phone here, am I going to be looking at my screen or am I going to have some way to see it in front of me?
Yeah.
So the way that we do things technology-wise on a day-to-day right now is already so advanced from what it was in the past, and it's just going to continue to accelerate. And I'm very interested to see what happens with those VR sets, because that is so funky.
I
It's a funny
know.
video to watch, but it's very weird.
It's you know, you have to start somewhere. And in my mind, way back when we were actually on the beta testing squad for Google Glass when that was a thing, and it's advanced so much
Oh.
further since then. But if you look at where it started, you have to wear these apparatuses because the technology isn't small enough. But I think in a future state, when we start talking about like nanotechnology and all the stuff NVIDIA is doing and all these insane emerging companies that are coming out, it's going to be like a contact lens that you pop in your eye, and then that'll be the new thing. And when it gets to that point, then I'll actually be open to wearing them, you know. But right now, I personally, maybe it's like a fashion choice, I don't know, but I just think having the goggles on seems a little strange for my personal taste. Yeah.
A little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I
to each
think
their
like
own.
at home in your own home, sure. Yeah.
Right.
I'll put those on. But like I'm not walking around my house with that on. I'm not walking out in public with some big old goggles on.
No, everybody just wants to get to the Tony Stark place where they can have the screen that pops up and their AI assistant in their basement with all their
Yes.
supercars. That's what I want anyways. Yeah.
Yes. I want a Jarvis. I want an Iron Man suit. Heck yeah.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. But to your point of like in a contact lens, yeah, I do think that's where we're headed. Right now they're really big, but think about cell phones. Now again, this is going to date me. Before cell phones, there were car phones. Do you remember car phones?
Yeah, of course.
In the
And the
center, right?
bag
And they were like
phones.
in a bag phone. Yes.
Yeah.
Remember my grandpa had one of those giant like block cell phones?
Yeah, with the antenna that you could like call like Pluto if you wanted to. Yeah, it was insane.
Yes. And now look at how the little, or depending on what phone you have, the big screen that you have, everything is just an evolution. And we're, continuing on this evolutional cycle. So yeah, it will be very interesting to continue to be a part of this whole chapter of AI. It's
Yeah.
definitely fast.
Yeah. And I know we went down the rabbit hole a little bit, but it's exciting to talk about all this because we only know so much and there's so much potential for it. So it's good to have these conversations. I think it's important for other business owners and people to hear this too. But I also want to bring it back in a little bit here. So for people that are learning about AI and for people that may be scared of all these tools or really like not understanding a lot of what's happening yet, what's the best way for them to start learning is to start understanding, are there resources? Like, what would you recommend for people that are trying to deepen their understanding?
This is going to sound like the most simplistic directive because it is, but your average American or average individual around the world, we use AI like all day. Even if we don't realize it, AI is baked into almost all technology today. And so most likely are already heavily relying on it. So my directive would be start. It's as simple as that. Start with what you're comfortable with. So like if I think of my mother, actually, is in her 60s. I like to joke that she is like tech illiterate, but she also works for a university system. And she was talking to me about some tasks that are really, really time consuming for her. And she doesn't like using them or like doing it. It's not a task she enjoys carrying out.
Sure.
So I showed her what ChatGPT is. And now she's playing with that. I showed her what Copilot is because it relates to the work that she does. So she started with work that she was already doing in her current role and said, "Do I actually have to be the person that does this, or does this just need to get done?" And then from there, she utilized resources that she had, like her daughter, me, to say, "Is AI really a thing that I should be using? I'm in my 60s. Like, do I really need to do this?" Yo, if she is 63 and doing this, I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this podcast are even younger than her, or maybe even older than her. But if she can do it, I mean, just start somewhere that you're comfortable. That really is like the best piece of advice I can give you. Now, when I say that, because I've been on the receiving end of that, when I heard that, start where you're comfortable, I was like, what the heck does that even mean? Like,
Yeah, or
what am I supposed to
what if
do?
I'm not comfortable? What if I don't want to start? Like, what if I'm like afraid? Then what? Right? It's definitely a very open-ended question where like if you're not openly choosing to do this thing, you're not necessarily going to. So, how do you force yourself to start to learn about it so that you're not behind the eight ball basically and catching up with everyone else? Yeah.
So, really coming back to that word comfort, if you are truthfully like, man, this is way over my head. I just really don't know what to do. Start on a personal level. Leave your job out of it for a second. What ingredients do you have in your fridge? Pop that into ChatGPT. What recipe can you make that doesn't require you to run to the store and get more ingredients? Start there.
That's interesting.
Have a child who takes forever to get ready in the morning, and maybe they're very particular about a certain style. Look up ways to speed up morning routines. Look up what you can do and what you can say before bedtime to make sure that individual or that child is ready to go in the morning. There's all these little things in our personal world that are big time suckers mentally. And if we can use AI to start to weave that into our personal life, that's how we start where we're comfortable because it's less risky. Me saying, hey, ChatGPT, I have XYZ ingredients in my fridge. There's nothing really scary about
Right.
that,
And I don't
right?
know what to make. Yeah. I don't know what to do with it. Give me something. Yeah. That's a really great point. And I think that's something that people can really take away and start using. And I'm going to do that too, where like there are things that we all do. It's different for each person, but like the tedious tasks, the mundane, the monotonous things that like you have to do them, but you maybe don't want to. And how can AI and what tools are out there that can help speed those things up so you can get back to doing what you love doing and you can get back to doing what you're
Yep.
passionate about doing? That's a huge piece. Yeah.
And I would say something that I've noticed is like a easy transition, if you will, going from utilizing AI in my personal world. Okay, I'm a little warmed up. Maybe I'm ready to start to peek at what that might look like in work life. Start with presentations, like a slide deck. Guess what? If you use AI to create a slide deck and that slide deck is garbage, then don't use it. Like that's the, oh no, it didn't, turn out how you wanted. But that's you starting and that's you trying.
Yeah.
So remove the like hard stuff of your job and start with the easy stuff in your personal life and then start to kind of wean that over to your professional life.
Yeah.
But
That's a
a
good
lot of
point.
people slide decks, which is just an easy thing to start poking with.
Yeah, slide decks is a great one. For me as a video professional, I struggle with scripting because I'm not a writer per se. I can write, but I'm not a writer. I'm more of a, I love to take what's on the written page and turn it into something, right? That's what I'm a specialist in. But I've learned that if you use ChatGPT and if you use some of these tools, it may not be like a copy and paste. But if I'm looking at a blank page and I don't know where to start, it's a great way to like input something and get something back quickly. And it sparks the thought process. It starts to get me going and it gets me going faster than if I'm just sitting there going like, I don't even know where to start this. I don't know where to begin. So even just using it in that way, it can really help your creative process and help get you where you need to go faster. Yeah.
Well, and two, I was having a conversation with Bob, our CEO, a couple weeks ago. And what we were talking about is, when you hear AI, we think of like these big advancements, like big deal things, right? Really impressive things. But when I asked Bob, CEO, what's like the most annoying thing you do? Guess what he said? He said, starting emails as a CEO is one of the most annoying things I do. And if you think about it, if you're a business owner, you want to come across very professional, but you want to come across friendly, conversational. There's all these things that you place as expectations on yourself just within one simple email.
Yeah.
So for Bob, having tools like HyperWrite or Jasper Everywhere that can be right within your email to help you draft that email, instead of sitting down, and this sounds silly, but I know everyone has had this experience where you have someone to email and you're nervous. You don't want to email them. For some reason, you're just really in your head. And it's like 10 minutes go by and you haven't even like started the email. And you're just like thinking, what a waste of
Overanalyzing. Yeah.
time.
Yep, totally.
So that, I mean, that right there, that was an easy way for him to start because with an email, well, if you don't like what it looks like, then don't press send, right?
Yeah.
So low risk.
Low risk, high reward. Great ways to
Yep.
get started with it. What other resources are out there? So I know we have Impact Plus, and can people reach out to you? What else would you recommend if people are trying to learn more about AI?
Truthfully, I would say if you, well, if they're listening to this, they're probably podcast listeners. So another podcast I would recommend is the Marketing AI Institute, with Mike Caput, who you had on this
Yeah,
show.
he was on the show recently.
Yeah, and Paul, their CEO. They have a lot of good conversations similar to this conversation, but it's something I personally like rely on to stay in the know because It's so crowded online. There's so much fluff to get through. And to our first point in this conversation is, I don't always know what is fact and what is opinion when you hop online. And so having trusted resources like the Marketing AI Institute or like Endless Customers, where you can hear experts having conversations and you know that they're pulling that information from somewhere of expertise because they actually do that in their day-to-day. So like Paul and Mike at the Marketing AI Institute, they live and breathe AI all day. So I am much more keen to hop on their podcast and listen for a quick half an hour, 45 minutes, than to sit down and let my fingertips go to work on a search engine trying to figure out whatever I learn at that time. So yeah, the Marketing AI Institute podcast, that's, while we know them, so maybe I'm a little biased. I will say that's been the one podcast that I actually find to be consistently accurate.
Yeah, I
And actually
agree.
have talk about that are worth my time to listen to. Not my time, Brianna, as the AI lady, but my time as just any individual who's standing to learn something.
Well, it goes back
A
to
lot
being
of them
a
are.
trusted resource, like you were saying, Brianna. And two, like I said this to Mike, I remember going to MakeCon before COVID and them talking about how important AI was and how it was going to shift the landscape of everything that we do. And I even said to Mike, like, I don't know if I was fully bought in back then. I was listening. I was definitely open to it, but I wasn't fully bought in. I was like, yeah, maybe we'll see how it goes. So when you think back that far, they've been preaching this for a while. They are fully bought into it. They're a trusted resource. And like anything, people that are pillars in a community become that trusted voice, and those are people you need to listen to and really try to use as that guide to help you make better and more informed decisions, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up COVID because when before COVID happened, if you remember the company Skype, remember
I was almost
that?
going to try to do the little call notification thing that it does, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah,
Yeah, I remember Skype.
Skype. But Skype had a real big opportunity when that pandemic happened to lean in, and they didn't. Zoom stole that marketplace, and they did it in a really easy way because we all needed a place to communicate, and Skype wasn't going to be it. While that is a different scenario than AI right now, again, it's not different in the actual evolution of it. So you're going to be like Skype and just wait and see what happens, or are you going to be like Zoom and are you going to be proactive and start learning and making your products and service accessible and easy for people to get? Are you going to use AI to make that possible, or are you going to stick to the basics and maybe be a company like Skype that no one really talks about anymore?
Don't be like Skype people. Don't be afraid. Get out there. Get your hands dirty. Try things out. Experiment. It actually isn't as scary as you may think. It's a lot of fun. And the more that I play with it, the more excited I get about the potentials of what could be. Brianna, I love talking with you about all this stuff. This is a really great conversation. Thanks for being on the show. Before we go, can you just let people know how they can get in touch with you if they have any questions or if they want to follow up and talk about all things artificial intelligence?
Absolutely. Of course, I am on LinkedIn, Brianna Walgenbach. Otherwise, you can find our homepage of Impact Plus and our AI services page. You're going to see this face all over it. There's a talk to a coach button, and that will connect you directly to me.
All right, and that's our show. So thank you for tuning in to the Endless Customers podcast. We really appreciate you listening, and we will see you on the next episode. And hey, don't forget that we have episodes every Monday and Wednesday releasing on all major platforms. So be sure to go subscribe. That way you won't miss out on how you can earn trust and win customers in the age of AI.